All right, you can go ahead and open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 4. We're going to be there in just a second, continuing our series, Be Courageous. And today we're going to talk about having the courage to share your faith. Before we get into the sermon, I do want to mention again about our Wednesday night Bible class called Sacred Marriage. Got off to a good start last Wednesday. We still have 4 nights of this class ahead of us. And so even if you didn't come last Wednesday, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of the discussion that will take place at 7 p.m. over in classroom number 1. We have a special, I guess, treat coming up this Wednesday with David and Mary McClinton are going to share their marriage story. And so they're going to share that with the class, just an opportunity to hear a couple talk about their marriage, the ups, the downs, the way that they've seen God work in their lives, those kind of things. And so it got off to a great start and really looking forward to what God is going to do in that class this Wednesday night. So please consider being a part of our Sacred Marriage class. Okay, now to the book of Acts. Before we get into Acts chapter 4, where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, I need to give you a little bit of background. So in Acts chapter 3, that's where we read about Peter and John healing the crippled at the gate called Beautiful at the temple. If you remember, that's the story where the crippled is asking for money. And Peter says to this man, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give unto you. Arise and walk." So this crippled man is going around praising God because he has now been healed. Of course, there's all kinds of people that are seeing what is taking place. And they're amazed and in wonder over what has taken place. That's what Luke tells us. And so Peter, the apostle who takes any opportunity he has to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, takes this opportunity to tell the people about Jesus Christ. He says, "It was through the power and in the name of Jesus Christ that this man who couldn't walk can now walk." And he goes on to tell them that true salvation, that the hope for the people of God comes through Jesus Christ alone. Now we know that he was doing this at the temple. And there were a lot of Jews that would have obviously been in that audience hearing Peter preach at that point. Some of them turned their hearts over to Jesus Christ. They listened and received that word, repenting and giving their lives over to Jesus Christ. However, there were some others that weren't too keen on what was taking place at that point. They were feeling threatened by Peter and the other apostles who were preaching Jesus Christ. And so they wanted to put a stop to it. As a matter of fact, they had Peter and John thrown into prison because they were preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Luke says that they were preaching the resurrection of the dead through the name of Jesus. Some Jews had a problem with this. They were threatened by it. So, where we pick up this morning is with Peter and John being thrown into jail in the evening, and then the next day coming before the ruling council of the Jews. So chapter 4 of Acts, starting in verse 5, this is what we read. "The next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's the word of God from Acts chapter 4. So Peter and John are standing before the ruling council of the Jews. They understood that because of what they were saying, that they could be put to death. How do we know that? Because not too much earlier, not too much before this story, there was another man who stood before this council. His name was Jesus Christ. Now, Peter and John, preaching the name of Jesus Christ, find themselves in a similar situation. While they are standing before this council, they boldly proclaim faith in Jesus Christ. It starts off with this in verse 8. Notice this. Luke tells us that Peter, as he is speaking to this council, is filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it's important to note that. Luke is telling us that the way in which Peter is able to demonstrate so much courage in the face of death is because God was at work in his life. The Holy Spirit was empowering him to boldly proclaim faith in Jesus Christ. When we think about being courageous for God, one thing that we need to remember, and we see it here in this story, is that our courage comes from the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said it was going to be this way in John 15 through 17. He says to those apostles there, those disciples, he says, you are going to do greater things, and it's going to be through the Holy Spirit that I'm giving you that you're going to be able to do those greater things. And so in our lives, in the different situations that we face on a regular basis, we need to remember that we are only able to demonstrate the courage that we need. We're only able to stand up for our faith and share our faith and all those things because of the empowering Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Then down to verse 12, as Peter is proclaiming faith in Jesus to these people, he says this, salvation is found in no one else except for Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, to those Jews that were hearing this, those teachers of the law, Caiaphas, and these other powerful people in the Jewish faith and tradition, they would have found this to be a little bit of a problem. Again, remember that it was these men that had their hand in seeing that Jesus went to the cross. He says, salvation is found in no one else. It would have been difficult for Peter to make a proclamation like this. But even in our world today, although in many ways it's not like the first century, in many ways it is. There will be people that will have problems with saying that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. They'll say, no, there are many avenues to God. Really, you are going to be so close-minded to say that salvation comes through Jesus alone? What about my religion? What about my faith? What about the way that I approach life in God? But no, we continue to courageously preach, just like Peter, that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. No one else. And this means something else too, and I think it's important to note this as well. When he says that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone, he is saying that man, humankind, needs rescuing. And that salvation, that saving, comes through Jesus Christ alone. That means that all of the people in the world, those people that we may know, those people that we may work with, those people that may be our family, if they are not in Jesus Christ, that means they are without salvation. It means that they're lost in their sin. Sometimes I think we need to get real about that. If people are not in Christ, they are lost. They are, at this point, on a path to die in their sins. Peter recognized that salvation came through Jesus Christ alone, and it motivated him. It inspired him to proclaim that word powerfully. Even in the face of death, it was worth it to him to preach it because he understood that this was the only hope for humankind. Do we believe that it's the only hope for humankind? Salvation comes through him. When we get inspired and motivated by messages like this, then we are put in a place to live courageously and boldly, understanding that this is the truth that every person needs to hear, or they will die in their sins. Another thing about this, though, and hear this, and maybe if you don't catch anything else I say today, catch this. This salvation took Jesus dying on the cross for us. If today you're wondering if you're loved, if today you're wondering if you are of any value or worth to anyone, please hear this. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that you could have the salvation that only comes through him. Hear that. God loves you. Let's move on now, verses 13 through 17. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they ask. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." So these men are nervous about what's taking place. They see the power that has been at work through Peter and John. And the man that has been healed is right there for everyone to see. And so they're thinking to themselves, what are we going to do? But Luke tells us at the beginning, verse 13, that they notice the courage of Peter and John. They saw that these men were bold in their proclamation of Jesus Christ. And they noted that they were unschooled, ordinary men. These are just fishermen, is what these Jewish leaders were thinking, these teachers of the law. But they may have been ordinary men. The Jewish leaders noted, though, that they had been spending time with an extraordinary man. And that made all the difference in their life. They noted that these men had been with Jesus. A question I have for all of us. A question I have for you. A question I have for myself. When we interact with other people, no matter what context it's in, do people take note that you have been with Jesus, that I have been with Jesus? I wonder what it was about Peter and John that made the Jewish ruling council take note that these men had been with Jesus. What was it about them? I have a feeling that it was their courage and their boldness and their deep abiding conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. The fact that they could look at these people in the faith, people that they knew had a different line of thinking, and say directly that hope and salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. They had deep conviction, huge courage. And of course, those that made that note that they'd been with Jesus, they knew Jesus well. They saw his works. They knew his power. They knew that he was the embodiment of God. He was God. You have to imagine that Peter and John had this word of God in their minds, in their hearts. Psalm 118 and verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What can the teachers of the law do to me? What can Caiaphas do to me? What can Alexander really do to me? God is at work in my life. What do I have to fear? What can mere mortals do to me? What if this word of God was just completely absorbed into our lives? What kind of courage would we have? What kind of life would we live? Verses 18 through 22 now. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So the council says, okay, here's how we're going to snuff out this work. We're just going to go ahead and tell them. Quit preaching in the name of Jesus. But don't you love the response that Peter and John give to these men? As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So what was it that Peter and John had seen and heard? Yeah, they saw the man who was crippled now walking and praising God. But I think what they're talking about goes back a little bit further than that. They had seen Jesus walk on water. They had heard Jesus offer the Sermon on the Mount. They had watched Jesus go toe-to-toe with the Pharisees. They had seen him heal a leper. They had heard him proclaim that he is God in flesh. They had seen all of those things. They saw Jesus go to the cross. And they were there interacting with Jesus when he raised from the dead. And so now they say, okay, you want us to stop talking about Jesus? We can't help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, a question for us as we reflect on this, where this matters to us, how it sort of gets into our lives, our hearts, and our minds. Can we not help speaking about what we have seen and heard? And I understand we didn't have the privilege, the blessing to be like Peter and John and actually get to interact with Jesus Christ. We didn't get to be there to hear him preach. We weren't there to see him actually heal the leper. We weren't there to see him die on the cross. We didn't get to talk with him once he raised from the dead. I understand that. However, can we not help speaking about how we have seen students that have gone into their schools preaching the name of Jesus Christ to their students? Can we not help talking about how a group of people get together on a weekly basis to study his word and to praise him for who he is? Can we not help talk about how there are couples that remain faithful to one another through the hard times, through the good times, because they made a covenant before God and their loved ones? Can we not help speaking about how we see every Wednesday night people are given food in the name of Jesus Christ? Can we not help speak about how we see people come to Christ in the waters of baptism on a regular basis? Can we not help speak about the things that we've seen God do through this church family? God is at work. Can you not help talking about what you've seen? Have you seen him? Do you hear him? And if you do, can you not help talk about what you've seen and heard. God is present. God is living and active through you, through this church. Have you seen him? Do you hear him? Can you not help talking about what you've seen and heard? Peter and John saw him. They heard him. And they couldn't help talk about it. As a matter of fact, you start turning the pages in the book of Acts, this ruling council said, stop talking about Jesus Christ. Turn the pages of the book of Acts and watch them preach. Watch them get beaten, and yet they continue to speak about what they'd seen and heard. It was just, it enveloped them, and they preached it. They talked about it. It was their story now, and they proclaimed it boldly and with courage. Have you seen him? Have you heard him? Can you not stop talking about what you've seen and heard? If there's anybody here this morning that has not yet come to Jesus through baptism, here in a moment, Mark's going to lead us in a song. And if you're ready to put your Lord on a baptism, today would be a great day to do that. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of the assembly, we'd be so glad to pray with you or for you. Whatever you need, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.